Psalm 73. I preached out of this text last week at a camp, and I was trying to convince young people to serve the Lord. And as I spoke to them, they're going to make a decision whether they're going to serve God or they're going to serve mammon, as about no man can serve two masters, for either he'll love the one, hate the other, or stay with the one, leave the other. But it says no man can serve God and mammon. And we don't use the word mammon anymore, but the mammon, we don't say what in the mammon are you doing, but mammon just means world. So either we're going to serve God or we're going to serve the world. And so not only is that a decision probably young people make, that's probably a decision a lot of you make. You know, am I going to make a buck and drive a nice car, or am I going to serve God? Well, first of all, you can serve God and make a buck and drive a nice car. I'm saying a lot of the people think, well, I'm either going to serve God or I'm going to serve the world. And so I use this passage, but I love it. Let's look at Psalm 73. I want to just read the first verse for you. Truly, God is good to Israel, even to such are as of a clean heart. But I want you to look at the first four words. Truly, God is good. That's pretty good, isn't it? Now, just listen. I want you to look up here. Truly, God is good. Amen. Now, let's all say that together. Ready? Truly, God is good. And watch this. Who wrote that? Yeah, God did. I like when God says truly. Like, I'm telling the truth. Like, he has to. But God says, look, I'm just telling you, it's good. It's real. And when God says, truly, I'm telling you the truth, I, God, am good. And you can go ahead and start thinking, should I have been up here tonight? Honestly, for your pastor to have the day, the night to travel and drive up here, he thought it was important. And now him to have you here, I'll tell you what, that encourages a pastor tremendously, tremendously. And I appreciate you being up here tonight. Now I'll take you back to Exodus chapter 14. Exodus chapter 14. This is our text, and I'll have you open it. I'll read it, have you keep it open, refer to it through the evening. Exodus chapter 14, begin at verse number 1. Exodus chapter 14 and verse number 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel that they turn and encamp before Pi-Hahiroth between Migdol and the sea over against Baal-Zephon. Before it shall ye encamp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land of the wilderness, has shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart that he shall follow after them. And I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. Now, I want you to hold your Bibles open to that passage even as we sit down. May I just give a small preface about the message tonight? I was instructed to hurry tonight as I drove up the hill, so a short sermon for everybody, amen. I was thinking about your theme, launch out. Amen. Launch out. I would think that would be somewhat of a mental venture. I would think that would be an act of faith. But I also realized that when Christ said that, it was a command. That act of faith that God wants us to do, I'm going to mention these two verses. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Can't see faith. Then he says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So how do you teach something you cannot see? God does. God does. Tonight, I'm going to speak on that subject of faith. Amen. A subject of faith. God takes you to a place where you cannot see. Listen, God takes you to a place where you cannot see. God puts you in a situation where you cannot figure it out. It's like a faith school. It's like a classroom of faith. It's like Launch Out 101. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, I do ask that you would, first of all, collect my mind, my thoughts, most of all, the spirit of you within me. And Lord, these men here have made this mountaintop something special for years. It's been a place where we have decided not to quit, not to throw in a towel. We've decided to be a rock. We've decided to give it our best. And Lord, this year is no different, and we need the same strength which only comes from you. And Lord, I do ask that you would take this earthen vessel, this tongue, would you consecrate it? Would you make it different? And may I lose myself in thee, Spirit of God, accomplish all that you desire. Help us, please. For Christ's sake, I pray with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. And I don't know maybe how recently or maybe in your mind, but I'm going to ask a question. Have you ever been in a place you just didn't really want to be? Have you ever been in a place where you just didn't want to be? A place where you could not figure it out. A place where you did not understand. A place that you just did not like. Felt overwhelmed. Wasn't fair. Maybe reached an impasse that we could not get over. No way out. Zero options. I just can't see my way through. And that's when God says, that's my classroom. See, faith is not seen. And yet without faith, it's impossible to please God. So God has to construct a way that you and I get in a place where we just cannot figure it out, cannot trust ourselves, and must trust Him. Faith classrooms are as old as the Bible is. May I just teach the one we just read? Moses, under the instruction of God, is told to go, and I'll just leave out the big names, is told to go to the brink of the Red Sea. You know the story. Moses, after the hundreds of years of slavery, leads the people out after the 10 plagues. And he takes, 600,000 men. And so we're talking, I believe, probably maybe 2.5-3.5 million people. And he's told to leave Egypt. And now they're instructed to march to the promised land where God wants them to go. And now he's given specific instructions to go to the Red Sea. Moses does what God says, and he marches to the Red Sea. And if you understand those words, you understand that there's a mountainside on this side. Likewise, there's a mountainside on this side. In other words, there's no way to go here, and there's no way to go there, and there's no way to go there either. Then something happens. They hear this thunderous roar, and they turn, and they see Pharaoh now coming. And Pharaoh and his highest and mightiest of horsemen and warriors and chariots, and now they're upset. They're upset. Have you ever thought about that? 600,000 men. 600,000 men. I'm not sure, but I think that's about San Diego, isn't it? Can you imagine waking up the next day and 600,000 men are not working? Can you imagine there's no sound? There's no industry. There is nothing getting done. And now the complaining starts, the whining starts. Why do we do that? Where are our workers? What happened? Why did he let them go? Now Pharaoh, he's the man that made the decision. So now he's mad. Now he goes after them. So here it is. Here's the Israelites. There's Moses. And now they turn around. They see the Egyptians coming. And they're mad. And they look before them. Red Sea can't go that way. Mountains this side can't go that way. Mountains on this side can't go that way. Turn around. Can't go that way. What in the world are we doing here? And God says, I put you there. I put you there. Yeah, but there's no way out. I mean, this is life or death. I can't go that way. 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 And what in the world are we doing here? And God says, I put you there. And he did. And he did. He told them exactly where to go. May I say something? God tonight has you exactly where God wants you. And the people that we talked about a little bit tonight, you know something? God has them exactly where God wants them to be. I don't know about you. I would not want to be there. I would not want to look no way out there and no way out there and no way out there and no way out there. And what am I doing here? And God says, hear me, I put you there. So are you against it all? Is your back up against the wall? Can't see your way out? Welcome to Faith Classroom. I can take you to another place. I can take you to a prison, and there's just a young man there. His name is Joseph. And Joseph looks back. He says, I saw the dreams, and I heard the voice of God. I lived above board. I did everything I could. My brothers turned against me. I didn't take it against them. And I went to Pharaoh's house and Potiphar's house, and I lived uprightly. I was falsely accused. I didn't do it. And then I went to prison. I don't belong here. What am I doing here? And God says, I put you there. I put you there. I think about Daniel, who was not offended to say, I pray three times a day. I'll leave my windows open. I don't care what they say or what law is decreed. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to serve my God. I think Daniel kind of thought like, now I'm in the lion's den. What am I doing here? And God says, I put you there. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I think about the same thing. And now they're in all the provinces, and Nebuchadnezzar's having his big dedication day, and he rises the image up, and everyone else bows down at the sound of the music. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego do not do that. All of a sudden, they bring them in there, and Nebuchadnezzar's vision changes. He's old man. He wants to throw them in the burning fiery furnace. And I think they said, what are we doing here? And God says, I put you there. You see, the school and classroom of faith has been around for a long time. And when you get to the place in life where you don't understand a thing, realize this, God put you there. New Testament also, Jesus places the disciples in a boat, sends them across the Sea of Galilee. Jesus Christ climbs the mountain and prays. And a great storm and a great tempest comes up. And you know what the Bible says? That the ship was tossed in the sea. And it was just such a boisterous, or literally the ship was out of the water, in the water, out of the water. I mean, they're afraid for their life. I think the psalmist says, what are we doing here? And God said, I put you there. I put you there. Can I help you with this passage? Realize that God means for you to be exactly where you are. And Pastor, I mean, at work, I'm up against it, and you know what's going on, and now all my old friends are leaving me because of my new life in Christ, and I just don't know what to do. No, God knows what to do. See, God has you where you are because that's where God wants you. Whether trapped by a Red Sea or in the storm of Galilee or in the lion's den, a burning fiery furnace, God knows exactly where you are. Watch this. He said, well, if I'm backslidden, I'm out of the will of God. No, even more, that's where God knows you are. He said, well, the reason I'm here is because I was backslidden. No, the reason you are where you are is where, that's where God puts you. God puts you here. Gentlemen, we have to learn this thing called faith. It's a place where we cannot see. We cannot figure things out. We start asking ourselves that question, why I am here? And God says, I put you there. Number two, realize that you are in his care. realized that the Egyptians could not hurt them. The lions could not bite them. The fire could not burn them. The ship could not overcome them. And the bars could not keep Joseph in. But see, while we're where God wants us, watch this, we are in his care. Nothing can harm us. And may I say this, in the darkest days of ministry, I wish any pastor has been around for any length of time, and you get to your pillow and you wonder, God, what's going on? God says, always, I'll take care of you. I'll take care of you. But God, I can't see. And God says, well, if you can see it, son, it wouldn't be called faith. It wouldn't be called faith. He says, son, don't you understand there's some places I don't want you to see. I don't want you to figure. I don't want you to be ahead of me. I just want you to rely upon me. And if you rely upon me, I'll take good care. We are in his care. We are in his care. Likewise, we are in his timing. We are in his timing. The Israelites had a trip in front of them. They're going to face seven nations, all of which are greater than them. And may I just say this, not only in their time, likewise in his training. God was just, when God led them out of Egypt and put them right before the Red Sea, he knew, across that Red Sea, he knew going through that to that promised land, there's going to be bigger and harder battles than the Egyptians. There are seven nations just to come, watch this, that are larger than they are. And God said, they better learn, watch this, I guarantee you, you might have been through some hard problems yet, but there's some other problems yet coming, I guarantee you. And so God just says, I'll build your faith. I'll build your faith. Maybe sometimes you work out a little bit. Well, maybe you don't. Okay. just looking around here a little bit. Okay. So anyway, you have a bar. Okay. You have a bar. I don't know if you know this, but you actually put weights on the end of the bar. Okay. That's what the bar is for. Okay. So you have a bar, and sometimes maybe you have an Olympic bar. An Olympic bar weighs about 45 pounds, and so you have a bar. And then maybe you put a 45-pound plate on this side and a 45-pound plate on this side, and that's 135, right? And that's a basic weight that guys will use maybe to warm up with and things like that. And a lot of times, if you are a bench man and you're on the bench and you're laying down and your feet are spread and your back is arched a little bit, and once you have that bar, you put your thumbs underneath the bar to have a straight axis there, and so you got that bar right there, and you have a spotter. You have a spotter, and that guy will lift the bar up here, then you take the bar down, you press it up, and you take the bar down, you press it up. I benched 300 just the other day, 100 three times. I thought I was doing pretty good, amen. And so, but sometimes here's what you do. You put those plates on the end there, and then you take a little smaller plate, don't tell them, and you add a 5-pound plate over here and a 5-pound plate over there, and they think they're still warm up, but you're making them go just a little tougher than they think. And here's what God does you and to me. And God said, look, I'll put the 45-pound plates out there, but I'm going to sneak a 10 over here and a 10 over there. I'm going to help you do it. And you're going to get stronger, and you're not going to know why. Because I know later on you need some more strength. We're in his training also. We're in his training. So God not only says, I have you there for a reason, and you're in my care, and you're in my timing, you're also in my training. You see, with that timing thing, watch this. He could have saved Joseph. He could have saved Joseph. Got him out of prison, but he didn't. He left him there. He could have saved Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, probably on the platform before the fiery furnace, but he didn't do that. He probably could have saved Daniel before the lions, but he didn't do that. He allowed them to go to a place where they could not see, they could not figure it out, they could not understand. And last thing he says, Lord, what are you going to do? And he says, I got you exactly where I want you. Can we learn a lesson together? When the people cried out and said, Lord, Red Sea is here. Mountains here and mountains here and Pharaoh behind us. What are we going to do? Lord, what's going to happen to us? Maybe we ought to be more concerned with God's glory than our relief. Maybe we ought to be more concerned with God's glory than our relief. So the reason you went off unemployment, is that for you or is that for God? The reason you want more money and pay bills, is that for you or is that for God? The reason you want a better life, is that for you? Is that for God? The reason you want things to go more smoothly, is that for you? Is that for God? See, I think the people here were crying out. It's like, we don't want to die. I mean, here we are, and the Red Sea there, and the mountains there, and the mountains there, and the Egyptians there. It's all about us. It's never been all about us. It's all about Him. Man, can you imagine these people saying, look, I don't know what God's going to do right now, but I know this. I know what He did with the frogs. I know what He did with the flies. I know what He did with the moraine. I know what He did with the darkness. I know what He did with the blood and the water. I know what He did with the locusts. I know what He did with the lice. And hold on here. I just know this. God has taken good care of me since then. I think He'll do it now. Hey, what's God going to do this time? You'd think they would have learned by now. But see, they were so focused on themselves and not what God was going to do. Realize that God puts us in a place to learn faith. Realize that we are in His care. Realize that we are in His timing. Realize that we are in His training. Realize that we ought to be more concerned with God's glory than just our own relief. Maybe they ask the question, how can I get over this? How can I get through? How can I get out of this? And yet, really, when God stepped up and caused the great miracle of the parting of the Red Sea, I guarantee you that wasn't in their mind. Yeah. And now it's a miracle that we've talked about for thousands of years. And so God was just really looking for a place where He would get the glory. Where everyone's just talking about how great God is. And the people did get through. And the people were saved. And the children were delivered. And God was exalted. And the enemies were taken care of. And so it worked out for the best. But it all started in the classroom of faith. So if you're in a place in your life tonight, you just cannot see or understand. You're exactly where God wants you. Maybe we're asking all the wrong questions. How did I get in this mess? Why did this happen to me? How do I get out? When will it be over? Instead of how will God be glorified? I remember years and years ago, Brother Chappie, you probably don't even remember telling me, but building bank was coming up, and a man in your church had pledged to give so much, and the bank was still coming up, and he prayed about it with his wife, and they wanted to give so much to the building banquet, and I wanted to pledge so much, I think maybe for a continual offering, and the man got laid off. And the man went to Brother Chappell, your pastor, and just said, Pastor Chappell, my wife and I prayed, and we know beyond a shadow of a doubt God wants us to give this much, and God wanted us to pledge maybe for 6 months or a year or whatever it was, and Pastor, I just got laid off. I don't know what God's telling me. Pastor, what should I do? Now, any human person would think this way. Well, if you're laid off, you can't do anymore, just give it up. But that would be a faithless person. And your pastor, very wise, just said, if God spoke to you, then by faith do what God said. And the man reiterated, Pastor, and said, I thought that's what I should do. And the man, watch this, did exactly what God had told him to do. It's amazing because the very next week, the landlord came, and as he told him he had to move, the landlord came and said, sir, you don't have to move. You've never been late. You've been just a class A renter. I don't want you to move, so I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll go and lower your rent so you can make it. He said, well, you don't have to do that. I'll find it. He said, no, sir. It's better for me to have a tenant like you and make less money a month than have another tenant and not have all the problems. He goes, I'd rather have you stay there. And so he lowered his rent. Well, lo and behold, what's just 2 weeks after that, the guy got his job back. So not only did he give his pledge, and not only did he give his commitment, and now his rent is lower, and now he's making more money. Amen. Amen. Go figure that one. And so you can't figure that one. Welcome to the classroom of faith. See what we're seeing? It's all about us. It was just this life ain't about us. It's all about glorifying Him. Amen. Can I help you? You can't ask God to change the circumstances. See, when you're in a place where you cannot see, cannot figure, cannot understand, You can't say, now, God, you do that. God, you open up, we'll obey you. God, you tear down, and I will obey you. You just have to say, God, whatever your will is. You know, when they're on the water that night, that Jesus told them to go to the Sea of Galilee, and then the storm arose. Watch this. Jesus knew the storm was coming. And do you remember when he walked on the water and he asked Peter to come and walk on the water also? Peter didn't ask him to calm the storm. Peter didn't ask him to lower the waves. If I read the Bible correctly, with the ship being tossed to and from the water and the rain probably blowing horizontally and the lightning flashing in the night and as black as it could be and they were scared to death, it was probably not a real good night for water walking. And so watch this, it was not Peter's place to say, Lord, you calm the water, I'll walk on it. It was his place when Jesus said, just come to get out of the boat. So you can't ask God to change your circumstances, then it wouldn't be by faith. I just mentioned this after 9/11, a decade ago, watch this, the very next Sunday, we had to set up an extra 100 chairs in our auditorium. And we filled them. Couldn't believe it. The next Sunday, probably 90 chairs. Probably the third or fourth Sunday, 75. After about 5 weeks, we didn't have to set up any chairs anymore. See, people didn't want God to fix them. They just want God to fix the problem. And God says, no, I want to fix you. I want to fix you. You are now in a place where all you have is God. You'll quickly find out he's all you've ever needed. Nowhere to turn. No help in sight. No way out. What are we going to do? Can you look back at the passage, please? No hope. Can't see the light, can't figure it out, can't pay the bills, can't hear the voice, can't solve the problem, can't manage the money, can't pay the bills, can't get over the hump, can't catch your breath, can't get rid of the hurt. What do you do? What do you do? Look at chapter 14. Just look at verse number 8. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with a high hand, but the Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and chariots and Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army and overtook them in camping by the sea beside Pi-hahiroth and before Baal-zephon. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, watch this, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes and behold, the Egyptians marched after them and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. Can you look up here, please? So when you come to a place where you cannot understand it and you hear the voice of God just saying, I put you there. Pastor, I just got divorce papers. What's God say about that? I put you there. Just lost my job, preacher. Well, what do you say about that? God says, I put you there. I'm upside down on my finances. What about that? God says, I put you there. Moses, I put you there. Daniel, I put you there. Joseph, I put you there. You're right where God wants you to be. Just today, at the airport layover in Vegas, I get a phone call from a very extremely wealthy man. He says, I'm not doing well. I said, what's up? So you know I got married about 6 weeks ago? I said, yep. Assumed a family, yep. Money's not coming in. I said, you're okay. He says, no, you don't understand. I can't tell her. I can't face him. Because you remember 10 years ago, I said, yes. I met him because the man was about ready to commit suicide. He says, it's all over again, Pastor, just like 10 years ago. It's just like, I don't have a life. I don't see my way out. I don't know what to do. Hey, I'm out of here. And he told me he had the gun. I said, just like 10 years ago, hey, you're still alive today, and you do what God tells you. We'll talk 10 years from now, but God's got a plan for your life. Hey, watch it. You can either panic or you can pray. And these folks looked up and they saw the Red Sea and they saw the mountains and they saw the mountain, they saw Pharaoh, and they said they were sore afraid, and so they cried out. And when you come to a place where you do not understand and you can't figure it out and you don't know how to get over it and can't get through the impasse, watch it. Either you can panic or you can pray. Now, I'm talking about praying. I'm talking about falling on your face before God Almighty and saying, look, I don't understand this. I can't go that way. I can't go that way. I can't go that way. I ain't going that way. And God, what do you want me to do? And that's when God hears you the best. Welcome to the faith classroom. Listen. Verse 13, and Moses saith unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you to you this day. For the Egyptians whom ye shall have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. I don't think that's the way God, or that's the way they thought God's going to figure this whole thing out. Yet in the schoolroom of faith, that's where God works his miracles. Moses cried out. Got manna, quail. Gideon cried out and beat the insurmountable odds. Hannah cried out, got a baby out of it. Jacob cried out, got the power of God. Elijah cried out, got the fire down from heaven. David cried out and defeated Goliath. Peter cried out, walked on water. Paul cried out, knew God. Jesus cried out and saved the whole world. Can I take you to the last scene here for a minute? Israelites leave Egypt, tyranny, slavery, 400 plus years. God sends a deliverer, 10 plagues. They see the majesticness of God. And now they come to a place where they are leaving, going to the promised land. And now they are set entangled in the wilderness, Red Sea in front of them, mountains on this side, mountains on this side. Pharaoh comes to this side and they ask the question, what are we doing here? And God says, I put you there. I'm going to try to make this as personal as I can, gentlemen. But wherever you are right now, God put you there. I don't understand. God understands. I don't know what to do. God knows what to do. John Wilkerson just took church in Hammond. And if you know the exact numbers, you can correct me later. I think John has 8 children. I want to think the littlest one is just about 2 years of age. John's a godly man. And if I had to call 5 men to pray for me, John Wilkerson would be one of them. John just moved to Hammond, Indiana. And when John, Pastor Wilkerson says, and Brother Wilkerson says, it's time to go, watch this. Mama gets ready and Dad gets ready and 8 kids get ready. I think his youngest, you don't need to correct me and tell me later. I think his youngest daughter's name is Lydia. Lydia. Lydia's not quite 2. So when Dad says, okay, we're getting ready to go, let's go. I watch Mom gets ready, Dad gets ready. All the kids grab their coats, grab their shoes, all get ready to go. Lydia does not understand exactly what to do. She's 2. So here's what Lydia does. Lydia finds her shoes someplace, and she picks them up, and here's what she says. Daddy, I'll go. Daddy, I'll go. She doesn't know where she's going. She doesn't even know how she's going to get there. But all she knows is if my dad is going to go, I'll go to my dad. Daddy, I'll go. I can't see it. I can't figure it out. I don't understand it. But I don't need to, Daddy. If you're going, Daddy, hey, Daddy, I'll go. I'll go. I'll go. And you know what God wants tonight? He just wants the men to say, I'll go. I'll go. I don't understand it. Can't see it. Don't know how to get over it. But Father, I'll go. So here we are at the Red Sea. I'm not going to argue with how many people are there. There's the Red Sea, mountains, Egypt's and back, and now it's all going to come down to one final scene. And watch this. And those people fall on their face and they cry out to God. And you know the answer. God uses Moses, lifted scepter, and the great east wind comes and separates the water. They walk across on dry ground. And watch this, and Pharaoh comes after them, and the scepter is reared, and now the floods come back and destroy all the enemies, and they go off to the promised land because they cried out. Because in a place where they did not know exactly what to do, and they had faith in God, and they cried unto him, watch this, God saved a nation. When the people, by faith, got on their faces and cried out to God, God saved a nation. And I thought about launch out. Honestly, personally, I've been up here 19 years. We didn't make the 3-hour drive or 4-hour drive in 62 minutes for nothing. But may I say this, it probably, for the same sake as you, you didn't come up here for the wonderful accommodations. You didn't come up here for the marshmallows. You came up here because maybe God was going to speak to you about a matter, and God says, if you will just lift your voice in faith, maybe God could use this many people to save a city, to save a state, to save a nation. So I don't know about that. Well, let's launch out and try. Let's launch out and try. God put you here tonight to learn a truth of something you cannot see. So God puts you in a place where you cannot figure it out and just says, cry out to me. And then God gets all the glory. Wouldn't it be great if several hundred men got on their face tonight before God and cried out and said, God, would you help our pastor? Would you lead our church? May we be a light in Lancaster and Palmdale. And may that have a rippling effect throughout the state of California. And may other people take notice that God still sees us through. Truly, God is good. Father in heaven, is somebody here tonight on the brink of not figuring it out? Is somebody here about ready to panic and run? Is somebody here maybe ready to say, I'm done? We could have died back in Egypt. It's better back there. Let's go on back to the world. You didn't bring those people to turn back. You brought those people and put them there that they had to trust in the Almighty God. And Father, there may be somebody here tonight. No, Father, I know there are many here tonight that are just right up against it. They're against the wall. They're at the hard place. They're against that rock. And they don't know what to do. They can't see their way out. But Lord, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are expecting them to look up to you and say, cry out unto me. And Lord, you'll answer their prayer. Call unto me and I'll answer and show you great and mighty things thou knowest not. They never figured the Red Sea to open up. But boy, once they focused on God, God showed them the answer. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. It's a large area here. Can I just ask an honest but very sincere question? If I just honestly ask this way, is anybody here up against the rock? Anybody here against it, just up a hard place? Would you raise your hand tonight? Then you'd be surprised how many hands are up. Hey, listen, what a great place to be. God is on the verge of showing himself mighty. God is starting to roll up his sleeves. God is doing some warm-ups to flex his muscles. And God said, when you can't do it yourself and you can't figure it out and you can't get through, call upon me and I'll show myself mighty. I wonder what would happen that several hundred men would cry out to God and say, God, show yourself God. Show yourself mighty. Show yourself strong. Show yourself wise. Show yourself impotent. It changed the city. It changed the state. Because God always honors faith.